Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Happy opening. The set's still wet, everybody.
Happy opening. The set's still wet.
It is.
That's what we're calling this podcast.
We are.
And boy, oh boy, do we have one of our favorite people with us here today. He is a regular on this show at this point.
Rivaling Richard Maltby Jr. himself is the most often appeared on this show.
Richard Maltby, it's like a Where's Waldo. Like, listen to the podcast. You can hear Richard in the background just being like and then
notes.
Miss Bird.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Thanks.
Off he goes.
Thanks.
And off he goes. We have Diva Robbie himself, Robbie Rizal, the toast of New York City, a man whose songs from Inside My Locker was one of the best theatrical events of 2018. It's going to be the best theatrical event of 2019 as well. And there's an album coming out.
Huzzah. Frankly, it's the theatrical event of the millennium.
Yes.
There it is. Yeah,
right.
Yes.
I am happy to be the brioche of New York City. Thrilled.
Brioche.
And I actually brought new lyrics for Ellen to sing in Act 2 of Miss Saigon. So I'm really
Thank
happy.
Thank you.
Great. My God, why am I in this show?
Oh.
That's it.
Okay. Oh, that was great.
Liz, just sing Story Goes On.
I'm seeing her later.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm going to bring her an Anastasia vinyl.
Oh, Robbie brought us vinyls.
That's true.
We got My Fair Lady and Anastasia.
But she and Christy Altemare sing Journeys to the Past.
Yeah.
And it's a bonus track on
them. Yeah,
it's
amazing. That.
But it's not about them right now.
It's about you.
That's right.
It's about this man who grew up in Pennsylvania?
Well, I grew up in upstate New York.
Upstate New York.
Came to New York. But then I moved to Pennsylvania around 2000. I was moved there by a company that I worked for, The Wall Music, which was like a record store.
I remember The Wall.
You remember that lifetime guarantee? Guess what? You can't get that.
No, and because there was a sticker.
All out of business.
That's right. That's right.
So they moved there and then they closed and I was stuck.
Where in Pennsylvania?
We should redact that because of the stories that we're about to tell.
That's okay.
We'll beep it out. Yeah. We'll beep it out when you say it.
Anyway, it was a teeth optional town.
Yes.
Yeah. Great. Like a Waffle House.
Right.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I grew up in upstate, too.
You sure did. Elmira.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Tell us a little bit about your theater experiences before coming to the great city of New York.
Oh, so I mean, the best story that I can tell you is when I moved to this town and started with this little company, I did Guys and Dolls with them, and it was a mostly children's cast. And then
you just showed up in this town and you're like, I need to do theater.
Like community
so I'm
theater.
Gonna, so
yeah,
you're like, you found community theater in this little town.
Which is what you do, right?
Yeah,
and
no,
you
I'm
know,
impressed.
It's like a renovated church that's now like a theater,
right?
And so they were doing Guys and Dolls, and with it was like a mix of adults and then like young people,
yes,
doing the show. So like Harry the Horse is like 12 years old, but Nicely Johnson, which is me, was 82 on site. So great, sure. You know what? I walked in. I did my thing. It was we had fun. I got very sick that the week of the show. I got laryngitis, you know, like I got the horse right here, like the cue for Tin Horns at
the horse right here.
It's like
it's
the top notes at the very end, and I'm like, right. So the director who created the theater to give her daughters starring roles
naturally,
right,
like you do.
That's really like how every community theater begins, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
I'm not wrong.
Nepotism runs rampant in
community
theater.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
And my last name wasn't any of their last names, so getting roles was difficult. But I was so sick, she was like, do you want a shot? And I was like, what, did you have B12 just sitting around? And she was like, Goldschlager. So I would do a shot before every song that I had. But because there were kids in the cast, I know, I had to hide the little bottle in like the Tupperware pencil holder that my mic thing would normally be in. And we were doing that Ken Page, Sit Down, You Rock in the Boat.
Uh-huh.
Right. And I literally just turned to the pianist. I was like, you know, just follow me because I don't know what's going to happen. Good luck. Namaste. We didn't even say that then, but I did. So a couple years later, they did Jekyll and Hyde, and that's the story I'm here to tell.
Okay.
Jekyll and Hyde, directed by the woman who played Lucy. who was one of the daughters of the person who funded the theater.
Yep, naturally.
Also starring the costumer as Jekyll slash Hyde.
Oh, wow. Multifunctional, this yes. one.
I played Simon Stride and others. Mm-hmm. I also ran the spotlight. So when I was not on stage in any of my three roles, I would run down two flights of stairs and up three to hold a light in my up in the choir loft and aim at them because it wasn't like a spotlight that you just like turn.
No, it was
it was like
a hot
something that yes that you bought it like. Spencer's Gifts, and you're like, good luck. Spencer. So,
I feel this, like I wasn't allowed to go in that store.
This production followed the David Hasselhoff DVD of the show.
I'm sure it did, like religiously.
Except when it didn't.
Oh.
Like when they dropped in a song from the original Colin Wilkinson concept album that sounds like something from The Lion King.
Hmm.
It was a choice. Costumes were not ready.
Well, he was so busy. I mean,
sure, yeah.
working on Jekyll and Hyde.
He had a lot
Hyde.
To do.
He's yeah, very
there's
busy.
Things to listen. Yeah. So during Good and Evil, which it replaces Bring on the Men. Yeah, that's the for Broadway it was yeah. called Good and Evil. she didn't have her costume, and she was Zoftig, in her underwear on stage singing the song, and then her mic pack slipped.
No.
Yep. And so then she like shoved a hand, and I'm on the spotlight, like lighting her. And so I see it all, and her hand goes behind her and just stands in place. And she sort of modifies choreography all facing front, holding this mic pack in place. Great. Cut to, the most important thing. They didn't hire a band or a pianist for the show. They used the rehearsed tracks,
mm-mm.
but the you can only export them in one instrument because they don't want you to use them.
Wait a minute.
Right.
So what you're saying is like when you play at the orchestration, you can't have it be the full orchestration. You have to choose.
Well, no, you can't. Like when you play it in rehearsal, yes. But when you export it to be like, here's your part, it only plays out one thing and you choose what that is. And they made the very bold choice
uh-huh.
of organ.
An organ.
Yeah. So Jekyll Hyde.
Organ.
So sometimes these wonderful people got like the Pocket Songs karaoke track.
Yeah.
And sometimes they got organ of right. I don't know how well
loud sound the organ. It's not
sure
very
is.
Subtle.
No.
Yeah.
Subtle was not their name. I don't know how well you know Jekyll and Hyde, but Act Two opens with a 12-minute opus called
Murder.
Murder. Murder. That just repeats on a loop. And the precious older woman who was running the CD thing
yes.
accidentally skipped to the next track halfway through the song. And we all froze. And you can't turn to the pianist be like, you know, we'll just pick that up from the second A.
Start over.
Right. Yeah, nothing. So then the poor audience of just red hats. God.
Sorry. I like a red hat.
Yeah. Right? But you just look out and it's just like a sea of red and purple.
Yeah.
Right. For a good minute and a half got as she fast forwarded through for us to pick up somewhere. But we all picked up in different spots because again, the song repeats on a loop. And so it was like murder, murder, da 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 da, murder, murder, da 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 da, murder. And we just stopped. Nobody knew what was happening. The red hats didn't care. They,
no, of course not.
No, but the rest of the everyone else was stupefied. So we get to the final scene, which is the wedding scene. My neck gets broken in that scene, and this girl who was in the show with me, who I loved so much, leaned down next to me, and as they dragged me off, she went off with me because she was like, I couldn't stay on stage anymore. I couldn't. And they also, they sewed the girl playing Emma, they sewed her into her wedding dress that was not ready yet, backwards. So her sleeves
no.
were backwards.
No.
Backwards. And here's the kicker of all this. They brought the show back the next month because it was such a hit.
By popular demand.
By Pop's demand, you guys.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Murder, murder.
I love that. Remember the old CD players too? How you fast forward? So it really was like
over the sound system.
Yes, totally.
And this is the same theater, like where I saw Grease or Bidel High, as they once called it.
No royalties.
Nope, none. But. During, and they did the film.
What is this, the second story where a theater did Grease but called it something
they
else?
They fully did the film.
Oh, the film?
Oh, yeah. So they played like the Barry Gibb. Oh,
yes.
Right. Grease as people walked two by two down the aisle up onto the stage and into the school. I'm using air quotes the listener can't see. Into the school, did the entire screenplay. And during Grease Lightning, from the choir loft on a string is coming down that Model T that's made out of that blue sort of that stuff that you normally use for like theater walls in community theater. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like that drywall-y, but it's much lighter. Styrofoam.
Yeah.
Sure. And it got stuck over us. I was watching the show. I was not in it, but it just looking up and there, it's just dangling and they don't know.
Just Grease Lightning is
God bless. They did Annie same way. They did the film complete with sign, which should be in the show.
Okay. You lock the orphans in the closet.
They love it.
You hawk their Christmas souvenirs.
And drink.
Oh, my God.
But they also, in that, and it was piano, right? Piano and maybe percussion. They also did Let's Go to the Movies in that. And suddenly there was a full orchestra when the Rockettes, which were all, 12 to 15-year-olds, were tapping. So, they're just tinkly, tinkly, tink. And then suddenly, full brass section as they hit play on the CD. And you'd think, wouldn't you? You'd think.
You'd think this would, yeah.
Here's what I'm saying, guys. Jekyll and Hyde sells. No matter how you play it.
Who knew?
Right?
Who knew?
I can't.
That was incredible. Absolutely incredible.
That was my life for 2 months. I lost a lot of weight, though, because running downstairs and back upstairs to run a spotlight.
So many parts.
I know.
On stage and off.
One of them I did as Harvey Fierstein because I just needed to differentiate, and there were no costumes.
What?
Yeah. So I was like the apothecary that he goes to, and I was like, I got your stuff here. Because I didn't know what else to do. I have nothing. I have a very limited bag of tricks, and I look like this. You know what I mean? It's like you can't pass off Mary Stout as ensemble. You can't pass me off as ensemble.
It's
I'm sorry.
True. You're right.
Some people are made to blend, and some people are Cassie.
That's right. Watch your hip.
I'll pop it.
Don't pop the head, Robbie.
It's all popped.
It's all
popping all over the place.
Thank you so much
for
joining
us.
You are a joy.
That's true.
You are a joy.
I don't like to brag.
Yeah, and did you have a good time too, Kev?
Kev.
I had a fantastic time.
Did a good time, Daddy.
I'm the audience member in this.
So very quickly, while you're here, while the three of us are here, and this is on record.
Okay.
Yes.
Will you be naming your child Rob? Or Robbie.
Ah.
Yeah, that's important.
We're going to have to wait till on the day. You guys will find out. Yeah. And if it's a girl, well.
Roberta.
Oh, that's a musical.
It is a musical. Yeah.
There's 17 recordings of it.
Yes.
All by John McGlynn.
Yeah, every single one.
All
Larry Morgan gave you a chart for every single one.
All at a snail's pace.
Oh, and the incidental music, don't forget. Well,
God forbid we forget that incidental music.
All of the incidental music. But,
Are you doing like a gender reveal thing?
No, people don't do those things anymore.
I feel like they do.
Really?
Because somebody said...
We don't.
Like, that forest fire in California was started by a gender reveal firework.
Yes.
Shut up. Stop it.
Is that true?
Yeah,
yes.
That's true. One of them.
Really? That's why there's two In-N-Out burgers left. They all burnt down because of a gender reveal party.
I am so angry right now.
Yeah.
So wait, but you're going to find out the gender.
We will find out in January 25th.
When it's born? Is that the due date?
No.
It's fast, Kev. Yeah. You work fast.
Due date is June.
Oh.
June. For Tony Awards.
Good.
Almost the June 9th is our...
If you don't just hold the baby and give a speech, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
If you don't think your agent and your manager...
I want to thank Sutton. I want to thank
God.
ICM, God.
Right.
David Cromer. I'm holding the baby.
Yeah, yeah, you sure are. Like, not like Rafiki though, like a Tony.
Like, the vineyard. Yes, totally.
Can I be there for when the birth happens and do that?
I feel like you are the fairy godfather.
Can I wear like my makeup and like
do you mean like a Cajal?
I'm gonna dress like a Cajal.
At the Palace Theater.
Me and George are at the Palace Theater. Does that go over your head, Mr. Letterman?
I think it went over every listener's head right now.
What so listeners? But okay, so you're naming the kid after
you guys. One or both. Yeah, of course.
Or Daisy and Violet.
Yeah, well, you know, more options then. You're right.
I'd like to give you options. Mostly down.
Option up.
I don't know. Option up. Yeah, always option
up. What have you ever optioned up?
No.
No. Close the show.
Close the show. Close
the show. The set is still wet.
Well, what a great way to close this.
Perfect.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Today's episode was recorded at Shetler Studios on 244 West 54th Street. Visit Shetler Studios to book your room today, and you could be as cool as us. That's Shetler Studios.com.
And a big thanks to our sound editor, Daniel Schwartzberg, and social media manager, Bethany Ann Solecki.
And friends, don't forget, we want more folks to hear these incredible stories, and that's where you guys can come in and help us out.
Yes, in order for people to find out about us, we need lots of ratings on iTunes. The more ratings, the more will come up in searches. So head on over to iTunes, search for Behind the Curtain, Broadway's Living Legends, click on our logo, click on ratings and reviews, then write a review and leave us 5 stars and make us feel as special as Eliza Doolittle on Eliza Doolittle Day.
Or you can leave us 1 star and make us feel as bad as Annie did in that weird production in Boston where Annie dreamed about being adopted and then ended the show back in the orphanage. True story, Rob was there.
I saw it. So head on over to iTunes and make us feel even more special than we already do.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.